We're live from Shan's living room.
As you can see on YouTube.
Yes.
Make sure you head over to our YouTube if you want to see us in the flesh.
Yes, definitely. Milo is being such a good boy today.
Milo is. He's just over there in his little corner right now with his little elephant.
I feel like he's the full-on podcast.
He's a podcast pup. That's what he is.
Oh, I love that.
We're going to get him a little hoodie, a little merch.
Merch.
Our merch as well.
Merch.
We're such like little mums out. We're like, looks like our kids have gone to like a football team and we're like, look at their merch. We're repping.
Losers.
Literally. Oh my God.
So today's episode is going to be all about motivation and self-confidence.
What is needed?
Yes.
This is a huge topic, isn't it? All over TikTok, Instagram, in the nail world at the minute. It is crazy.
Yeah, because we touched on it last episode when we were talking about our nail tech journeys. But a lot of being a nail tech is trying to motivate yourself. I mean, at the end of the day, we're self-employed, so we have to be able to do everything on our own.
Literally.
And that, with that comes motivation and confidence.
It does.
So, welcome to episode 3.
Episode 3.
Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Liv.
I'm Shan.
We've already explained what the episode's about, so should we just dive right in?
Let's go for it.
Perfect. So, I think we'll start with motivation.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, because I think it's a big thing. We do have some questions. Have you seen any that you want to
talk about? Yes, sir. I think with this, I don't know about you, but I get so many questions about this on my TikTok.
Mm.
And like, it's quite a big thing that I think I talk about it a lot, about the mental health side of being a nail technician.
Yeah.
And I think in the last couple of episodes we've both touched on the fact that we both have very supportive partners.
Yes.
So I think when it comes to motivation,
they keep us motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, for nails,
that only goes so far though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think especially when I first started, I needed so much more motivation from another person.
Yes.
Rather than from myself, whereas now it is so much more myself.
Yeah. I think, like, yeah, when you're first starting out, like, having that support and that person to be like, this is going to get better, like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And I do actually wish that I had more nail tech friends when I was first starting out.
Oh, 100%.
To give me that motivation. So if you're listening to this and you're in a position where you're starting out your nail career, reach out to people.
Yeah.
Like, just send them a message. Like, be like, hey, I've followed your page for a while, really love your work.
Yeah.
Like,
just that's what I did with you, wasn't it?
Yeah, just start a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what sort of friends you're going to gain from that. And also, with that as well, attend events. Like, events have become such a big thing
we
in the nail world.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah. The Nail Order have just announced their date for their event, haven't they?
Their Sunday service event.
28th of September. And the Hona event's coming up in September. We've got Niche in June. Also, Maisie's Nail Tech Soiree.
Nail Tech Soiree.
A little party. So there's loads of events that you can attend.
Yeah.
Masterclasses, anything like that. I know that it's so difficult. Like, even now, I wouldn't go on my own. So it's so much easier said than done.
Yeah.
But if you can push yourself, then do it.
100%.
Because you will meet people. Like, these nail events, you have to remember that everyone there has one thing in common, and it's nails.
Yeah.
Like, you
have to
remember
that. You're in a
room
full of people who get the industry.
Yeah.
Because I think that's so important. Like, as much as I love my normal friends,
yeah,
I need to have friends who are in this world, because your friends who aren't nail techs, they're not going to want to sit and listen to you go on about build gels.
No.
And maybe allergies, or what gel colours should I buy? They don't really care as much, which is going to happen. But if you've got somebody who literally understands it, you can message them about a client, you can message them about anything, it gives you that motivation to just be like, oh, because I think a lot of people can turn to social media for motivation, and yes. half of the time when you end up in a TikTok doom scroll or an Instagram doom scroll, it does the opposite. It yes. doesn't motivate you, because social media is such a highlight reel
yes.
that you're not going to be motivated by all these perfect sets. You're going to compare your work to them.
Yeah. You need to have people in your corner that you can talk to that relate to how you're feeling and will yeah. talk to you about the realities of being a nail tech. That's what this podcast is for. We are talking about the realities of being nail technicians
yeah.
because it's an incredible job, but it's not all good.
Yeah, it's getting a fine line, isn't it? Because we don't want to sit here and basically say there's all these negatives to be a nail technician and oh my god and da da da. It's when you have the self-confidence and the self-motivation,
yeah,
it is then the best job in the world.
Yeah, it
in
really
the
is.
World. I think you can agree, like, from your perspective as well, I've been in this job where I have had no self-confidence and no motivation.
Yeah.
And then I've been in it where it's been really high. And the difference in yeah. how you are as a nail tech and as a person
yes.
when it's low and when it's high is a joke.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it is crazy because, like, if you lose that motivation, you're going to lose your passion and then you're not going to do as good of a job.
Yeah.
Like,
it can be a nail tech who literally is like, oh, just get this set out of the way, then I'm done. And it's so much more enjoyable when you actually think to yourself, I can sit and enjoy this. And
yeah.
But then again, it's getting there, isn't it? It's
yeah.
having the motivation to push your business out there, which I think is a good place also for us to kind of start a little chat about, because in yeah. our last episode, if you listen to that, it is all about how me and Liv became nail technicians and our kind of journey to there. And we kind of stopped it at a point where we thought, this is where it goes into the, you need self-motivation,
yes.
you need the confidence, or I'm sorry to say it, but your business isn't going to work, if I'm being completely blunt.
It's not.
And that is where, coming from a girly, I mean, I don't know about you, Liv, you can say if you think the same as well, but coming from a girly who had no motivation and no confidence,
yes,
it was going to go downhill fast if I didn't change yeah. the way my mindset was.
Yeah, it's a lot about changing your mindset, for
yeah.
sure. And not expecting too much, like, you see all of these nail techs on social media that have, you know, however, like 10 clients. And somebody I think of is Sophie's Cute Nails. I don't know if you follow her. I love her. She's the sweetest person ever. But she does these, like, really mega long days where she's doing like 11 clients in a day. And somebody might look at that and think, like, I need to be there. That's
yeah.
what I need to do. But Sophie's been in the industry for a little while now. She's grown her business to that point
yeah.
where she can have that many clients in a day. And it's also...
Oh my God.
What?
Her?
Yeah.
That is literally... That's one of my besties as well. I love her.
Yeah, she's
I love
so
her.
Cute.
I don't know why I thought it was Soph Does Nails for some reason. I think I'm getting, like, me names
oh.
confused, but she's so... She does long days, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
But I just think, like... Also, when you look at somebody doing those long days, you probably only think positive things about that. Whereas I'm sure Sophie, if she was sat here, right here, right now, she probably doesn't like to do those long days. In
yeah.
fact, she talks about it when she has like a shorter day where she finishes at 5 o'clock
yeah.
and she has like 8 clients, she's much happier and she
yeah.
enjoys her job a lot more. So I think it's important to remember, if you see those people doing these long days and they've got all of these clients, it's important to remember that A, it's taken them a long time to get there. They've not done that overnight.
Yeah.
And B, it's not all good. Having 11 clients in a day is not always a nice thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like, to someone that might be deemed as, okay, this is my success. This is a lot
yeah.
of when people put on, I'm fully booked. A
yeah.
lot of, so many nail techs are like, oh my God, I want to be fully booked. But fully booked for one person who might work part-time 3 days a week is fully booked. And then someone else's who's working 5 days a week.
Yep. 11-hour days.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's their fully booked. You don't know what's going on behind
no.
the scenes, like you say.
Definitely not. No. So what, did you ask a question? Because I feel like, did we answer it?
I was saying about how once you've done the course, once you've...
Yeah.
done all that, everything's, you've got the little kit that you're starting out with, the motivation, the self-confidence to get these clients, to get clients in.
Oh God, I feel like it's a hard one.
I think with that, like I say, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think it is literally, it gets to the point where you have to force yourself to be like, my books are open, I'm becoming a nail technician, I am taking clients now, and that is all about the, sometimes the motivation won't even be there, to be honest, it's more self-discipline.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like just being strict with yourself.
Yeah.
And just pushing yourself to do it. If you are, you know, if you're a nail tech that's just starting out and you don't have any clients, use your time as if you do have clients.
Yeah.
You know, say for instance, if you're working a part-time job and you're like just aiming to do nails 2 days a week, use those 2 days a week, sit in your salon, do nail art, post on social media, you know, get things, get the ball rolling, get yourself into that routine of working. It's almost like manifesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like if you're sat in your salon and you're in that environment and you're practicing doing nail art, you're gonna probably get to where you want to be a lot quicker because you're making it your reality. Yeah. It's not just a dream.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
You've got to kind of put in those extra little steps that not everyone realizes needs doing. Yeah,
definitely.
Like on the outside, it looks like, okay, you do a course and then you put on Instagram clients and they come running and then you're fully booked, and it's not that at all. No. It's literally, there's so many in-betweens and different things you can do to kind of get to that space. And like Liv said, you can do all these little extra things that are gonna help kind of get you there. Because like, so when you started your business, did you have motivation and confidence instantly?
No, I think like so if you listen to our last episode, you can hear more about my story and journey and becoming a nail technician. But going from being unemployed to then having to motivate myself to work was really hard.
Mm.
And that's why it took me a year and a half from qualifying to actually gain clientele.
Yeah.
Because I just really struggled to, like, I've just given that advice where it's like, sit in your salon and do this and do that. I didn't do that. Did I fork? Like,
practice like, what you preach, hun.
All right. But if I could give myself advice, that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah.
I would say, like, use your time wisely. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Because I think there's a very fine difference. How I kind of looked at it when I first started out was, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And I think that is such a misconception with nail technicians, is it's seen as an easy job.
Yeah.
And it's not. You have literally, I think I mentioned it on one of my TikTok videos, I said, like, you've got to think, in a week, if you have 5 clients a week and you work 5 days a week, that's, what, 25 clients?
Yeah.
A week? Yeah. A week. 25 different people.
That's 100 a month.
That's 100 people a month that come to you. That is like a lot, and obviously it depends on what people want to work and everything, but I do think that, like what I was saying, that's what parts people in, the people that are going to be successful in this industry and the people that aren't. The people that are going to be successful are the ones that realize, okay, you know what, if this was easy, everybody would be doing it, and everybody's not doing it, because the amount of people I see even on TikTok that are like, I'm closing my business, I can't get clients in, all this stuff. There was a time where I couldn't get clients in, like,
oh no. Yeah.
And you've honestly just got to push past those things. But I just think it's easier said than done. Like, it, I'm really sat here being like, you've got to push past these things. But I was on the other end of this podcast where I was trying to find podcasts on a morning to tell me how to change my mindset, to tell me how to make me feel better. Because even just something as simple as new client nerves, that can make someone literally want to throw in the towel and not be a nail technician anymore.
Definitely. Like, I at first really struggled with that, with having, because I work from home and I started out working from home, the nerves that I would have before I had a new client were mega. Like, I really struggled with that. But I'm now at a point where if I have a new client, I don't even have a flicker of nerves. Like, not even
a little bit.
Nope, nothing. My confidence has grown so much that I've got to that point where it does not faze me. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, in a sense that I'm, like, meeting a new person. Mm. But I have... I think I just adjusted my mindset. I was like, I'm the one that's in control in this situation.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's coming into my space. I need to have the confidence in myself to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
To show somebody that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do that... people aren't going to want to come back.
No.
If I'm like, if I act nervous or, and I think you mentioned it in the last episode actually, where a lot of the times a client is more nervous than
100%.
You are. I had a new client the other day and I was like, oh, can I have a look at your nails? Like, you know, after we'd had a little nut, can I have a look at your nails? She passed me, she was shaking.
Oh my
like,
goodness,
hands
I was
were shaking.
Just going to say the same thing. I had a client not long ago and I was like a little bit nervous. I think I definitely feel the nerves more than you do.
Yeah, but I think in general you struggle with anxiety a bit more than 1,000%, I do.
Yeah. But it was the same. She passed me her hands and she was shaking. And that's when I kind of thought, this girl is more nervous than I am.
Yeah.
But you don't think that. You think they're coming and like, here you go. But put yourself in your client's shoes. Yeah. You go into a nail tech you've never met before. You go into her space. You're going into her house or her salon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, I thought about it in the client perspective once and I was like, it's actually quite a scary thing. Like,
it is.
You're sitting opposite this person who does this every day with loads of different clients. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the strange client. I don't want to be the client that she dreads. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? So like, switch your perspective almost.
Yeah, look
sense.
At it. Definitely look at it from the client's perspective and think, like, if I was a client in this situation, what would I need? And the main thing that you would need from your nail tech is for them to make you feel comfortable and for them to be confident in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when this girl passed me her hands and she was shaking, I just instantly knew what I needed to do to make her feel better. I was like, just distract her. Talk to her about anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, she passed me her hands again when I actually got to start doing her nails, and she was perfectly fine.
Yeah. You've got to almost settle them, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
You're in your own head about settling yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, calm down, girl.
But I think it is just, it's just switching it and, like, just thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah, honestly, I would say, like, me and Liv, we spoke... I think it was in the last podcast and in the last episode and we were talking about how, because I think this episode I really wanted to do, we both wrote down episodes that we're doing, and the first one I wanted to do was about self-confidence and self-motivation.
Yeah.
If you've seen my TikTok, I talk a lot about the mental side of being a nail tech, because I do, or have in the past, very much struggled. And Liv said to me earlier that as my friend, she's seen a huge development in me, because if you're listening to this and you're an anxious nail tech or just not got no confidence or whatever, I am betting you, I would put my mortgage on the fact that I was probably more anxious than you. Like, you're thinking you're anxious, double it, and that was me. And honestly, I can say probably since the beginning of this year, January, it is like something has just switched. I thought to myself, and I even said it to you, didn't I, in a voice note, like, I have got to the point where I have done nails for nearly a whole year. I did it full-time. February, I started full-time 2024, so it was a year, February just gone. And coming up to January, after I had time off at Christmas, I kind of did a little bit of a year review of my business.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it and I was like, everything my mind told me was going to go wrong never happened in nearly a whole year of doing nails. It is all in my head. And I realized no one is gonna, me talking to Liv on a morning to give me a bit of motivation, that isn't gonna help. Me talking to my other friends isn't gonna help.
Yeah.
It is gonna have to be something I have to change. And I have done counseling, I have done, you know, a lot of things to help my mental health, but my confidence and motivation in regards to my career is where I struggle the most. With my own personal things, it doesn't matter, because the only person I'm letting down is myself. Whereas in my career, I'm not only letting myself down, I am letting down clients.
Yeah.
And I think it is such a terrifying thing. And in all honesty, like, if you're listening to this and you just think, I can't do it, 100% nearly every nail technician has been there.
They've felt it.
Yeah. And the one thing that you're worried about, majority of the time, it's easy to say, but I'd say 95% it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Your brain does this to protect you. And this is, I think, has been the biggest change in my entire life, not just my career. And I know it might sound dramatic to some people, but honestly, I can say that I have listened to podcasts, I've listened to, like, you know, I've had books and everything, and it is honestly a mindset change. And it was this one thing, and it was like, confidence isn't a feeling. If you're waiting to feel confident, you will never be confident in your life. It is being scared and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And honestly, I heard that and I was just like, whoa. Yeah. So every single time I've kind of thought to myself, you're not confident, by me doing it anyway, I am being confident, because it's like, you're scared shitless, but you're still like, oh, you know what, I'm just going to do it anyway.
1,000%.
And it works out. And it's so hard when you have your brain telling you this is going to go wrong. Like, I wake up on a morning, and I've told this to Liv many times, I wake up on a morning and the first thing I think of, what's going to go wrong today? What is going to go wrong? What's going to make me not enjoy my job today? And you want to know what it is? It's me.
Yeah.
It's me working up with that mindset straight away. What's going to go wrong?
Yeah.
And I remember it
You're self-sabotaging.
Yeah, it's self-sabotaging insanely. And I actually noticed that because I was so wrapped up in all these things that could go wrong, I knew as a nail technician, I probably wasn't performing to the best of my abilities.
Yeah.
Not only with the nails, it was with my clients as well.
Yeah, you were just like in your head worrying.
Because I was worrying, I was like, okay, this client's coming. Yeah. I'll do her nails and she'll go. And then, okay, I've only got 3 more to go after her. And as soon as in January, which I do think also helped, is changing my hours and my prices, which we'll go into probably a little bit more later in the podcast. Yeah. But I had to almost realize to myself, you are doing these nails anyway, you have to sit and do this, so you might as well enjoy it and stop getting in your own head.
I remember you voice noting me something like that. You were saying, like, I've just realized that I'm in control of enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm in control of, guess what? The client comes and you don't get on, you don't have to accept her back in. The client comes and they want a nail art that you're not confident, do it anyway, ask if it's okay. If not, okay, we'll go minimal. And one thing Oliver always says to me is, it's nails, nobody's going to die.
Yes.
And in all honesty, if you have anxiety, that is what it feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like if this set of nails goes wrong, it is the worst thing in the world. And it honestly isn't. Like, it is just one of those hills you've got to kind of get over. But in the wise words of Taylor Swift, and it's also on my salon wall as a print, Milo, you're all tangled. Come here. Oh my god, right, there we go. Yeah, you sit there, mate. Milo's joined us. Right, lie down, please. No, you can't get, he wants to get in between us. Lie down here.
He can come here.
There you go.
Oh, good
he just
boy.
Wants, he just wants love.
Podcast pup.
Say hi.
Say hi, everybody.
Oh, you can hear his little sniffs. I hope you could hear that. But yeah, honestly, the biggest change for me was changing my mindset. And I know it sounds so easy to do, but honestly, if you just start seeing things so much more positive. So now I wake up and instead of thinking, oh my god, what if this client comes and she doesn't like her nails, I now think, oh, I get to see this client first. I see it one client at a time.
Yeah.
So I will sit and focus on those nails. And you know what? When it was at the point where I did feel like I wanted to give up my business, to be honest, like it was probably just before Christmas, just gone, I was like, I don't know if I want to be a nail tech anymore. I don't know if I can do it anymore. And in all honesty, it got to the point where I was just like, okay, do these set of nails next. At the end of my day, I would sit down, review on the day, and I'd think, wow, nothing went wrong and I wish I enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
And I also wish I'd have put effort in, because I have, since January, I have really started putting my heart and soul back into my nails. And if I'm being completely honest, I now look at my day, and if I do a set of nails or nail art where I'm like, wow, I'm so proud of myself, I'm proud of myself because look at the effort I put into those nails. And you know what, then if your client comes back in a couple of days or messages you, one of my nails has chipped or one of my nails has lifted, you know, well, I did everything I could to prevent that.
Yes.
So clearly something's gone wrong somewhere with either aftercare or she's knocked them or whatever. I know it's not me. And I know that was a bit of a ramble, and Liv hadn't even got a word in edgeway. But I just think
it's fine.
I'm so passionate about this because honestly, I know how it feels to be so in your head. And like Liv says, I think it's good to have friends who understand this industry. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to set your boundaries.
Yes.
And I think it's good to almost get out of your head and see it one client at a time rather than the whole day.
Yes, definitely. But how did, what was growing your client base like in the sense of trying to motivate yourself to advertise. Did you find that hard, or was it fairly like easy for you? Did you just sort of see it sort of logically and just...
Yeah, I'd say probably the second.
Yeah.
Logically, because I think...
You just saw it as like step by step, right? I need to advertise and then this is going to get me...
Yeah, quite, I mean, like... don't get me wrong. At the beginning of my career, there was a lot of encouragement from Oliver and Oliver's mum. They were literally like my cheerleaders, because at this point I had no friends, no nail tech friends. I had friends, maybe one or two.
I had no friends. I literally had no friends before I started doing nails. I know, I'm not exaggerating. Like,
I had maybe a few, and it was majority of... the people around me pushing me. But you know what, as well, I think that is why it's so good to be a nail tech probably starting now, because when I first started, if you went on TikTok looking for self-confidence and motivation stuff and someone's a nail tech and they haven't had the best day, there's no content, none. And that's why I wanted, when I wanted to do TikTok, I was like, nearly all of my content is going to be about, here's what happens this day, like, you know, your friend Lauren with her new series where she's saying my nail fails of the week.
Yes,
that is what we want to see, because it's,
we
want to
see the realities.
What's her TikTok or Instagram, so people can see it?
Onails.bylauren.
Yeah, that it's a new series, and I even said to you today that series is going to help so many people, because so many people are scared to admit that stuff goes wrong.
Definitely. I think it's so hard, because like social media, we keep saying it, but social media is just this highlight reel and no one's showing you what happens behind the scenes. I'm not posting the set of nails that I wasn't proud of.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would I?
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
But also, why wouldn't I? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Why wouldn't we? Because we've got it in our heads that you shouldn't be doing that. Like, I went to post a set of nails last night and I actually caught myself. I was about to not post them and I thought,
why?
What am I doing? Yeah. Like, why am I all of a sudden being like, no, I'm only posting my best content. Yeah. Why?
I know, why?
All content is good content. Yeah. A set of nails, like, you see all these people and they post all these things and every line is crisp. Yeah. And you're zooming in and you're like, they are amazing. If I'm not that amazing, I'm not posting. Yeah. But it's not that. It's like,
not the reality.
No.
Like, not everybody has the perfect nail bed and nail shape and the perfect cute. In fact, I was live with Nabovi the other week and she was talking about how like when a client first comes to you, their cuticles are impossible to get perfect because they've usually not been touched before. And I, when she was talking about it, I was like, yeah, that is so true. Like, you see all of these like people doing these Russian manicures, which is a topic for another day, but you see all of these like perfectly prepped cuticles and you think, that's what my client's nails need to look like.
Yeah.
And in reality, most clients don't give a shit.
No.
Like,
they want to leave with their nails pretty.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't care about what theirs, other person's look like. Like, the client knows what nails they're turning up with.
Exactly.
And if they want more length, then they book in for extensions.
Yeah.
And then you are kind of able to make it like that. Yeah. But like you say, someone may also have really bitten skin around their nails,
exactly,
which I don't understand why is such a bad thing. Like, I have clients come in and apologizing to me.
I know, I do.
And I'm
as
literally
well,
like, why are you apologizing? Like, I say to them all the time, please don't apologize for something so small as this, because for some people that is how they deal with their anxiety.
Yeah, that was how I used to deal with, like, I used to really badly pick my skin around my
and
nails.
I don't know why it's such a bad thing. Okay, so guess what? You've come for your nails doing. You're taking the first step to making that better. I'm not going to sit here and then make you feel bad for coming to sorting that out. That's like making someone feel bad for wanting to lose weight and going to the gym for the first time.
Yeah.
Why would you make someone... That's amazing.
Exactly.
Go
you're,
you,
you're
slayer.
Taking that first step, which is the most important. Anyway, back to motivation.
Yeah. Come on, Sean.
I've lost the questions, so we're just going to have to go rogue. On like a daily basis, what do you feel like keeps you motivated?
You know what? Since starting my TikTok and doing that, at a point it got to the bit where I was literally like, I wasn't confident. I'm a lot more confident now, like I just said, but when I first started my TikTok, I wasn't confident, but I was telling other people they needed to be confident.
Yeah.
And then when I started getting quite a few messages and comments being like, I wish I was as confident as you, or I wish, I literally, that's when I knew, this is all fake.
Yeah.
I can sit here and pretend to be the most confident person in the world and everyone will believe it, and then I see what it's really like, and I'm probably one of the least confident... was probably one of the mm-hmm. least confident people in the world, and that's when I kind of thought, this is all fake.
Yeah.
All of these nail techs I'm seeing that are posting all these amazing things, it ain't real. So probably that. And then, again, like I say, friends and Oliver... I know I keep saying it, but I do think having the people around you that get it and understand mm-hmm. it. And then for a third thing, it's good if you didn't ask me just one. For a third thing, I will say changing my hours has mm-hmm. literally changed my entire outlook. I think
in
that
terms
is
of motivation.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. In terms of motivating myself. Because I will, I do 2 long days, but on those long days, I think, well, tomorrow's a short day. I only have 3 clients, so I can enjoy this long day because tomorrow I've got a shorter day.
That's changed it completely for me as well. Like, I do Monday is a long day, Tuesday I have off, Wednesday is a long day, Thursday is a short day, Friday is just a normal day.
Yeah.
So, well, actually I'm starting to take Thursdays off as well, but knowing that you have that sort of break from like having like 6 clients in a day is so motivating.
Yeah. I think what people don't realise is that you're in control of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you are literally in control of how often you're working. I hated working so much. Why didn't I change it sooner? And now I'm like,
definitely,
I literally can, like, earn more but work less.
Yeah.
And that's in control of me. And I know, obviously, it depends on the circumstances that surround you, but I think in regards to, like, motivating yourself to get those clients, like, now I see where my gaps are because I've condensed my days down and I see exactly where my gaps are. I'm like, them gaps are getting filled.
Yes.
And I'm then going on and I'm like, that's motivation in myself to be like, wow. Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know about you, but before I set my working hours, it was literally like here, there and everywhere. Like,
oh, me too. It was like someone so messaged gappy. Yeah, I'd have like an 11 till 7 day, and then I'd have a 9 till 4 day, and then I'd have a 1 till 8 day, and I had no structure, no routine. How is anyone meant to live off that? You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
One day I were having a lie until 10 o'clock. Next day I were up at like 8 a.m. It were like, whoa.
I think I think routine is really important as well. Like, I think what motivates me is like getting up early in the morning.
I am
a very much a morning person. So me waking up between like 7 and 8 every day is like really important. To just get my day started off right.
Yeah.
You know, just need to get out of bed and get going with my day. But I also wanted to touch on the fact that motivation is so different for different people.
Yeah.
Like, some people might be motivated by money. That might be what gets them out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Which I would say, like, to a certain extent, that's like what motivates me, because you need money to live.
Yeah. It's like, I almost see... the money side of things, we don't do it just for that, but it is a motivator. Yeah, because in the last podcast, when I touched on the fact that I had a credit card where I did put all my courses on and I put my entire kit on, I had a credit card of $1,500 nearly.
Yeah.
And last year was the year where I was like, I'm being debt free.
Yes.
And slay. Did that, but that was a motivation. The money wasn't a motivation to go on 10 million holidays and buy myself Gucci belts and all this stuff. It was literally,
more of a like financial freedom.
Yes, that's it, which is such a bonus. But like you say, I'm not doing it to earn as much money as I can, because
if you did, you would be working 5 days a week, 7 clients a day.
So I'd be that nail tech with 12 clients a day, because I want the money. But that's not the motivation. To me, it's enjoy my life,
have
a work-life balance.
And I think that's what's important as well, is like, I got into this career because I wanted to be self-employed and I wanted to work for myself, and it got to a point where I had to remind myself of that. I had to be like, Olivia, this is ridiculous. Like, you are in control. Like, this is your life. You don't need to be working all of the time if you don't want to. And it really just like it, I think, like, maybe it happens for everybody. Maybe you've just got to go through that.
I honestly do think, like, if there's someone listening now and they're at the beginning of the nail journey and they're hoping listening to this podcast is gonna magically change something.
No.
It's not gonna, we're not genies.
We're
okay?
just chatting shit.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a different perspective of maybe being on the other end of it. Mm-hmm. But I will just say, if you want your business to be successful, you need to focus on the mindset of, but this is why we also created this podcast, so yeah. then people can listen to things like this, and this might, someone might think to, you know, oh, I don't know if I want to be a nail tech, and they listen to us say the exact same the way they're feeling, yeah. and it might give them that motivation
yeah.
to keep going, or to book that client in, or yes. to do that.
Just knowing that somebody has gone through what you're currently going through and has come out the other side and has grown and has made something,
yeah,
that is motivation in and of itself. And that's why we keep talking about having people around you that can relate to you and are in similar situations or have been in similar situations,
yeah.
because that is going to keep you going.
100%.
As much as, like, you need to motivate yourself and you need to find that motivation within yourself in, like, the passion for what you do,
yeah.
you also do need to remember that it's not always possible to motivate yourself. Like you were saying, like, oh, I can't rely on Liv to motivate me in the morning,
yeah
but some days you might need that,
yeah,
and that's okay.
I think it's okay, few and far between,
yeah, definitely.
I think it's also so empowering to have that as in yourself.
Yes, definitely.
Like, I really honestly wish I could just explain it, but like I said to you, it feels like that person's a different person.
Yeah,
like, it's honestly crazy. And I was walking Milo and I was listening to, is she called Mel Robbins? She's going a bit viral on TikTok at the minute for like her morning and night routines, but I think she's American,
yeah.
and she's like a woman all about psychology and stuff and the psychological stuff. And she's the one that said self-confidence isn't a feeling. So if you're waiting for the feeling, it ain't coming. No, you're just going to do it anyway. But she literally said, like, you need to look at yourself as a good person. And I was walking Milo and I hate being, look at me, I'm so good. I do not like being big-headed in the slightest, but just for 2 minutes I let myself be. I was like, look at what I've done in a year,
yeah.
and like, you could do this to yourself now if you're listening to this. Think of what you've already achieved. You're constantly raising the bar for yourself, so you don't ever look back at what you've done. Like, so for example with me, I'm full-time, I've got a nearly full client base, like, working with brands, and you don't need these things to be seen as successful.
No,
it can even be that you've got two clients booked in.
Yeah.
Amazing. But look at yourself and what you've done, and think of it as, you know what, these clients are lucky they get to come to me.
Yeah.
They're lucky that they get to come and sit down, because don't compare yourself to that nail artist who's going viral on TikTok. Compare yourself to a high street shop down the road that you've seen people come out with, you know, over filed nails or gel that's not in the place that it should be, like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to look at yourself and compare to that, because your clients are comparing you to these
their experiences,
all these, because let's be honest, our clients some of them might be, but majority of them are sat at home following all these big nail technicians that we are rising our bar to.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at it like that, and I actually turned to one of my friends and I said to her, I am honestly so sad. I feel so sad that I once thought I wasn't good enough and I didn't deserve all those things.
Yeah.
Because now I look at myself and I think, I'm not being big headed. I'm not like, oh, all these things, I deserve them. But I just think, I did that.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to change your mindset
to. You have to be proud.
Yeah. These people are so... And you know what? If it's the start of your journey and you don't feel like your skills are as good as they are, but these clients get to watch that.
Yeah.
They get to be... I have clients that literally, like, they're so proud that they're an OG client. Yeah, they always say, I'm an OG. And it's like, because they've seen your entire
journey,
progress. And you, like Liv said, you might have to go through this. I feel like you may just have to go through it.
Yeah, but I think it's just something you go through, no matter what career you're in.
Yeah, we're proof that you come out the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
kind of okay.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think, I like the points that you've just made. I think they're really important.
Yeah. I think it leads on to then the confidence side of things.
Yeah, I think confidence is...
I'd say confidence is harder than motivation.
100%.
Motivation, you can be like, I'm just going to edit that TikTok video for 10 minutes and post it, and I know that it'll be good for the algorithm.
Yeah.
Whereas the confidence is filming the TikTok video.
Yes.
Kind of
which
hard.
Is... yeah, that is like the pushing yourself out of the out of your comfort zone. Even now, I don't particularly like sitting and talking to a camera.
Me either.
Like, you'll notice that I am not really looking at the camera, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just going to pretend like they're all not here.
Yeah,
all these different angles are not staring us in the face.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, what about confidence? So, I think the confidence to post on social media is different from having the confidence as a nail technician.
Oh, 1,000%.
So, what do you think that difference is?
For me, I have never struggled with confidence on social media.
Yeah.
At putting my face out there, because to me, I don't hear the feedback.
Yeah.
And you do on comments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
people can say what they want behind your back.
If I'm being completely honest, the thing that terrifies me, if you could say, what is your worst case scenario confidence-wise, mine has always and will forever be the client side of things.
I was just going to say,
we are
so different in that way. Yeah. Like, I lack self-confidence in the social media side of things, even though sometimes it doesn't look like it, I do.
I
have a lot of confidence in my abilities and being very strict with, not strict with my clients, but...
you have your boundaries in place.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is something I don't have.
Yeah,
and it's I think this is why it's good, because we're getting both things. So... maybe you touch first on your side of things. So how come you find social media difficult? And then what about clients? Do you just like, what's your mindset with clients?
Okay, so with clients, I truly think that most of my confidence has come from the education that I've received.
Yeah.
I have done 2 years at college, and one of those was like a level 3 course, which I talked about in the last episode. And that was all about advanced nail services. So it was, you know, dealing a lot with different types of nails and how to, you know, like if a client that had like ski slope nails, for instance, walked in, how do you deal with that sort of thing? And all about like the contractions and contraindications. And I do think that my confidence with clients comes from that. I am very confident in the knowledge that I have. Not to say that I think I know everything, because I 1,000% don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm confident that like every client that comes in, I am doing the best that I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't send them out the door if I wasn't proud of the set of nails that I'd done.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly reminding myself of that. So for instance, like if a client walked out and 2 days or 3 days later they message me saying, oh, I've broken 2 nails, I'm like, girl, that's your problem, not mine.
That is just pause.
And that's something
for a second,
that you really struggle with,
because I think since me and you have become friends, I think that's why we were saying the motivation comes from friends, because then I heard Liv's perspective on it and I was like,
wait.
What? I was like, that is honestly, and that is something I think to myself now. So flashback to, like I was saying, December, I really felt like I was lacking in my motivation, wondering whether or not I wanted to be a nail tech anymore, because I was lacking the self-confidence and I was lacking the motivation, that I maybe wasn't performing because I was so in my head about sitting with this client and what could potentially happen. I wasn't focusing on the there and now.
Yes.
Wasn't focusing on the nails as much.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was still doing it because they're a paying customer. I'm still just want to make that very clear. I'm still very much doing the nails to a good ability. However, to my best ability, no, because I'm too worried about I need to get this done before my next client comes and the next client's wanting this and what were that client like and I then wasn't maybe performing to the best of my abilities. So then if I did get a client that was like, Shan Hun, my nails have chipped, next day I knew it was probably more to do, well, I felt like it was more to do with me, shall I say, than them. Whereas became friends with Liv, heard that, changed my working hours, felt more motivated to work, started focusing on the present, tried to change my mindset. I then now put, I would say, a decent 98% of my effort into every set of nails I do. I focus on that set that I'm doing. I am looking at the art before they come. I am making sure that builder gel application is as good as I can make it. So like Liv says, someone
and then you're
then,
not questioning yourself later. Yeah,
because that is, I will say, I know we're going to get to me in a minute. Sorry, I've overtaken you, Liv. But oh, I just thought worry. It was very important what you said because I struggle with the, my biggest fear is someone messaging me being like, my nails have come off or whatever.
Yeah.
If I then change my perspective to like what Liv said, I can then change, make sure I'm doing what I can on that set, that if they come back, my nails, well, I've done everything I can as a nail technician. I know I have performed my best. I've done my prep, my application, my art so good, and how I know it works, that if they come back, it's more to do with them, which takes away my fear.
Yes, and I think like this is something that I've told my friend Lauren as well, because she struggles the same way as you do. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. I'm sure she won't. But
if she does, we can always edit.
I've said to her, I think I've said it to you as well, you need to look in those situations where, say, for instance, maybe like twice in a week you've had clients that have messaged you and been like, my nails are broke. Like two of my nails are broke, or, you know, one of my nails is lifted. You need to look at your week as a whole. So usually those two clients are maybe just 10% of the people that you've seen that week.
Yeah.
And you need to remember that. You need to remember that it's only ever a small percentage of your clientele that are having issues or having problems. And if it's not, if it's more like, you know, 60% are having problems, then look at yourself, look
but
at what you're doing.
There's also nothing wrong with that
There isn't, because it's all growth. Like, you learn from everything as
a
nail tech.
There's something wrong with it, is it, if it's like 60% of your clients and you're still not doing out about it, you're not looking at your prep, you're not trying to find all these different things, that's when it's a bit of a problem. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
But if you're making those changes to better it,
so just try and think about it, like in those situations, try and think about your client base as a whole. Think about them as one whole thing. Look at how many clients you have and then how many clients have struggled with retention.
Yeah.
And if it's less than 20%, it's not you.
Yeah.
It's them. It's their aftercare. And in some cases, it is the fact that maybe the product that you're using isn't right for them and you need to sort of...
Yeah, which is why prescriptive manicures have become a thing.
But I wanted to make one more point before we move on about the subject of like clients and retention. So if you get a client that messages you and say it's like 3 or 4 days after they've had the nails done and they've had a chip or a breakage, you... don't apologize. I know that it's really...
I was so guilty of that all the time.
I know that it's so easy to be like, oh no, I'm so sorry that's happened. Don't do it. Do not apologize and take responsibility for that, because I, like I've just said, it's most likely not your fault.
Yeah.
And your clients don't, most of the time, aren't messaging you to blame you. They're messaging you to communicate with you.
Make you aware.
To make you aware of it, which is the right thing to do. So if I can, if it's within 2 days, like my policy is 48 hours, I think.
Mine is 72.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually mine might be 72.
Because
I don't know
if you agree with this, but I heard that if it is within 72 hours, it is more than likely something you've done.
Yes.
If it's anything after that, it is something they have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you've done something wrong with those nails, it is going to show within 72 hours.
Yeah.
Whereas anything after that, it is, are they oiling, aftercare, all that sort of stuff.
But also, it's also really important to remember that you don't know what your clients are doing in their day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they've walked out of your salon and they're fucking got their hands in mud in the garden and are digging at it with their bare nails. If they're doing that, it's their fault.
Exactly.
Even if it's within 72 hours, I don't care. It's their fault.
It's your fault, honey.
It
I agree
though.
With that, yeah.
Do you know what? You don't know what the clients are doing.
No.
You don't know whether they're walking away and opening their fucking packages with their fingernails. You don't know if they're like picking stickers off things. You don't know if they're,
it's the tiniest little thing. I think what clients forget is our nails are not used to things being on them. If anything, they repel it. So it's like you're working against something that doesn't actually want any, like, this is just,
it's
this
a
is
foreign
pretty,
object on
yeah.
your body.
Like, we all just want to have really pretty nails and it's great, but like, for example, me myself, I cannot have builder gel on, I cannot have hard gel on. The only thing that works on my nails is extensions.
Yeah,
I've been to plenty of nail technicians. It's nothing to do with them. My nails,
it's just
probably
your nails.
From me
Yeah.
Over filing them from first whatever first bloody episode I said it on. It is probably that. My nails, but because I'm a nail tech but as well, also because I need your that life, extra strength.
Yeah, your lifestyle. Yeah. And that's like it's an you know, I don't know, it's that's a whole other subject, I feel like. Prescriptive manicures.
I do just want to say, like, as well, you've also got to be very aware of, I notice, I don't know about you, if I have a client that has come to me from a nail technician that uses a gel bottle, I give them a spiel. I will say, just so you're aware, like, I'm so, if you're a nail tech that listens, that is listening and you use the gel bottle, I'm not judging anybody. It's your business. You know what works for you. Yeah. Absolutely fine. But I know...
If it works for you and your clients, you do
I recently had a couple of clients that came to me from a nail technician who used the gel bottle, and I instantly felt nerves because I was like, this stuff that's HEMA-free isn't going to last as well as the gel bottle, because the gel bottle would last on Milo's nails.
Yeah, I know.
They would last on Milo's nails for like 10 weeks and for not very good reasons.
No.
But... clients aren't educated in that side of things, so they may think it is me, which is why I then am like, oh god, like they're coming to me from the gel bottle. That's what I say. I'm like, they're coming to me from a gel bottle nail tech, I use HEMA-free majority of my stuff, and the difference is ridiculous. Like they are more than likely gonna have maybe a few chips because their nails are used to such a high level of HEMA content.
Yes, and you have to give it a couple of infills for that product to settle in. And
I say that
to
clients. I'm like, with anything HEMA-free, I'm like, the first is always a tester. The more infills, the more your nails get used to HEMA-free products, it will get used to it. But if you're a nail tech and you're listening, I just want to say, chips and breakages and lifting is a normal part
of being a nail technician.
Nobody else wants to say it. I have had clients that have come back with that have messaged me the next day. I mean, not as much recently, because like we say, I think it comes with experience. But I have clients still to this day that come back and they have chips and breakages, or they'll have a random nail missing.
It's
a lot more few and far between, but it still happens, because like we say, you are seeing so many people in a month. It's going to happen with people. You don't know their lifestyle, like we've said. I don't know how we've gotten to the subject of retention.
I know.
Sorry. Who's she?
Oh, well, I was going to bring it back to confidence, actually.
Oh, yeah,
if you're done.
I'm all done.
So,
who knows?
I think, like, you were talking about telling your clients about the difference between products with HEMA and without HEMA.
Yes.
And I think that you... How do I word this? Like, I think that's a really important thing to do, because it is showing that you have confidence and knowledge in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you have to portray that to your clients, because especially with using like HEMA-free products, I feel like this could be a whole another episode about like HEMA and stuff, but
it all links together.
It does, yeah. But like, you know, when your client... when you've got a new client coming in, and maybe they've been to another nail tech, maybe they haven't, maybe they've never had the nails done. But I think giving them as much information as you possibly can shows that you're confident in what you're doing.
It shows you're knowledgeable.
It gives them confidence in you, which then in turn gives you confidence. It's like a back... do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a back and forth
It's funny
thing.
You say that, because I've started doing these little spiels to my clients where I'm like, I use HEMA, and if you're not aware, HEMA's blah blah blah.
I do it as well.
Yeah,
I love talking about it.
But yeah, but then it's like, they leave, and I think this is why prescriptive manicures are such a good thing that have come in, is because you can literally say to your client who's coming to you for the first time, I'm putting this product on your nails, and guess what? It might not work because of X, Y, Z. And you can say about how it might be because of the HEMA levels. It might be because your nails aren't strong enough for... they're a bit weaker, so they need something stronger than Builder Gel.
Yeah.
You are giving your clients all these different things, because the nail world now is so different to what it used to be. We have had to adapt so much because now it is so much more of a thing. Like, people went to the nail shop, they got acrylics, job done.
They didn't care about their nails.
No one wanted natural nails, but now all the girlies want their natural nails longer. It's like a huge thing.
It's all about nail
health.
It's
a trend,
It is.
And it's like, people are starting to take it seriously, which is good, because if you're then showing you're knowledgeable, and you've explained to this client that's come, or HEMA, or your lifestyle, or I do prescriptive manicures, they know if they chip, well, she said this was a possibility that it could happen because of the X, Y, Z points.
Yeah.
And then they still have the trust in you, even though it may not have gone as well as you hoped.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that.
Definitely.
You were talking about confidence with your clients versus confidence on social media.
Oh yes, confidence on social media.
So that's why you feel good about your clients, because you know, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. I do. I haven't time with stuff.
Not in a big.
Not in personal stuff.
No. So confidence on social media, I think, is a completely different thing. And I don't think. I just want to put out there, I don't think that you need to have a presence on social media to be a good nail tech.
No, neither do I.
And not even in the fucking little slightest.
My favourite nail tech, one of my most favourite nail techs that I just, I'm dreaming of having a one-to-one with one day. She doesn't offer him, but I've messaged her about it multiple times. She is amazing. She's called Beauty by Nicole, and her work is stunning.
Is it?
Stunning. I'm not joking. I've never seen a nail tech like it.
Yeah.
And she... is not on, I think she has a little TikTok, but it's not a presence. It's not like her talking to the camera like me and you do. She doesn't really have that much of a presence. She has an amazing Instagram. She's on Instagram. I'm not sure about TikTok, so I can't say, but she doesn't have a presence like what we're talking about. The social media side of things. And she is one of the, I'm pretty sure she's fully booked. She's one of the best nail techs I've ever seen in my life. And she doesn't have a social media presence as much.
No. Well, Eleanor, you know, who went to Bristol with Eleanor Alice Nails.
Oh, yes.
She is the same. She has a TikTok and she has an Instagram, but she's not very, like, present on it.
Yeah.
And she's fully booked. More clients than me. Yeah. So it just shows, like, you don't need the social media.
And I think nowadays, it's pressure, isn't it?
Yeah,
Everyone else has got a social media and they're a nail tech, so I need it to get clients, and you honestly don't.
You don't.
The good old-fashioned way of...
Yeah.
Sometimes I've Word said... Yeah, if
Leaflets.
I could... Yeah, if I could put... if I could delete Instagram, Facebook, TikTok... I would some days, and just be a nail tech that do my few little clients a day, and that's it. I'd be happy, but
maybe that should be your dream.
It's not, because I do love the social media side.
So do I.
I just get such... The social media side is literally just...
I feel like it's fun.
It's honestly, this is my dream job, where I get to be creative, but then I also get to do social media because I do love it.
Yeah.
But
same.
Sorry, carry on what you're saying.
So with, like, having confidence, that was just a little side note I wanted to make. Like, you don't have to be on social media, but having confidence to do it can be really difficult, because I think the way that I was thinking about it when I first started was like, oh my God, all of these people in my life are going to judge me and going to think I'm weird, and I'm going to, like, they're not going to be supportive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to cringe.
That family dudes will be like, that's her.
Yeah.
The crazy girl that talks to the camera.
Yeah. But I just, like... I have gotten a lot better in my mindset with it, like, obviously, because I put myself out there now. Mm. But I think that just comes from, like, a change in perspective again. I think that you need to remember that nobody cares.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean that in the nicest way possible.
No one cares. Nobody cares.
No. You post your silly little videos.
Yeah.
Have fun. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
It's not that deep.
No, it's not that deep. Everyone's like, oh my God, what's everyone going to think of me? No one cares.
I don't care. Because I don't know about you, but my biggest thing that I say to people, especially like when they come to my workshops and stuff, I'm like, you need to post content that you enjoy posting.
I always say this.
You can't be copying somebody's content. You can't be repurposing their stuff and using it for like your own in a way. If you enjoy what you're doing, you will do well.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my confidence comes from, is before I was, if you scroll back on my TikTok, I was trying to be loads of different people. Mm-hmm. But when I found the content I thought, who wants to sit and look at a ginger just talking to a camera for 5 minutes? No one. But for some reason, other people like it. But you wouldn't think that about yourself.
No.
And as soon as you start doing that thing, I think it...
As soon as you realize,
As
soon as you realize that social media should be fun, like, I think that's what changes it.
Just have a ball with it.
Just have fun. Just create the content that you want to create, and your audience. What is it they say? Your vibe will attract your tribe.
Oh, slay! I've never heard that before. That's amazing. So, would you say that do you still struggle with confidence now?
Or? I do, in the sense of imposter syndrome.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's a topic.
Yeah, that is a big topic.
I think that's
it?
A big topic in this, about self confidence and self motivation.
Yeah, because when I hit 20k on Instagram and everyone was like, oh my god, you've hit 20k. You were like, no, I haven't.
Yeah, I think the exact same.
I was like,
people are like, well done, you've really, you know, worked hard for that. No, I haven't.
No, I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
No. And part, like, a massive part of me feels like I don't deserve it. A huge part. And I think that's where my confidence lacks.
But do you not see how hard you work?
No.
For that? See, I see that. I'm like, no wonder you've got all those followers, because you work hard for it.
I suppose I do.
Yeah, but because you're passionate about it, you don't think you're working.
Yes.
So you're just doing
that's
it anyway.
So true.
Yeah? Like when I'm sat here, people think, oh, she loves her evening because she gets to sit down and, you know, have romantic meals with Oliver. I'm sat in this corner right here now, slowly sinking into the sofa, editing my TikToks, and I love it.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. If you're doing TikTok and it's not for you, it ain't gonna work.
No, it's
like
not.
You need to find, even if you just post on one, even if you just do Instagram or you just do TikTok, you need to pick one and go for it at that, because you can be successful in that as well.
And like, yeah, I also think it's really important to mention, like, to find your style. Don't copy, because there's no point in that. Like,
I see so many people copying my videos.
You can copy like a video idea.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't think there's an issue with that, as long as you tag the creator.
That's what people don't do, they don't tag.
Don't copy the style. Do you know what I mean? Like, have your own style.
Like, it would be so obvious if I started copying you. We have
so
different content.
Oh my god,
it would
be so obvious if I started copying you.
I do like chatty and motivation
kind
of thing.
Sat talking to the camera.
Yeah. And unbox parcel with me, and I'll do the occasional day in the life. Is probably something we both dabble in. You do it more
but even then we do it differently.
Yes.
Like, it's different,
whereas you do prep and application, and yours is a lot more the nail with the client and stuff. If I started posting your videos, if someone said to me, you can only post the kind of content Liv posts forever, my TikTok would be non-existent. I would never post. I would not do well, because people can tell if it's your kind of content.
And vice versa, if it was the other way around and I had to create content like you create, I wouldn't do it.
Nah, not for me.
It's
like, a personality, isn't
it? I love consuming the content.
Yeah.
But to create it, no thank you.
Because people even say in the comments, I see it on both of our videos, like, you can tell you're passionate about this. You can, and it's like, people can see through you.
They can.
Yeah.
Really,
so
really
if you're
can.
Copying someone's video idea word for word, people can see that.
Yeah.
People can, and if you are copying it just because you think, oh, it's a good video and it's nice to do, tag the person. And it's okay. I do trends, but I will always tag the person I found the video idea from, because it's so important to do that. But I mean
what is a little tiny tag? Like, just be like video credit tag.
Yeah.
Like that's it. And I don't know, that's a different topic, because I feel like that's it's
but
hard.
So you feel like you struggle more.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome kind of thing, which leads to the social media then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't struggle with it in like an everyday way, because I've really tried to not be as present on social media, if that makes sense. Like, in the sense that I'm not as worried about like the numbers and the comments and the interactions.
Oh my god, me too.
Yeah,
I think this is such a massive thing.
Yeah, I'm posting to just enjoy posting.
I'll have people being like, oh, this only got so many likes and this only got so, I'm literally like, I don't even look at that. I post it because I want the video out there. I enjoy creating the content. I enjoy helping people out. Mm-hmm. There you go. And I don't really focus on it. Whereas I'll see people that are so bothered about how many likes, how many follows, how well it's doing. And like, you see people buying, what is it? You can buy followers and buy likes.
Oh
and
my
buy
God, yeah.
Like comments and stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is going to be detrimental to
your
business.
You're never
going to
grow.
No.
It's just not going to work.
People can see straight through it. And I think as well, when I see a lot of comments on my videos, how do I work with brands? Like, I did a video recently where I said why I reject some PR things. And I see a lot of comments that are like, how do I work with brands? And it's like, you're not getting what I'm saying.
No, you don't get the point.
Yeah, but it's like, if that is why you are doing this job, quit now.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for the PR, no point.
No, because nobody actually sends you anything.
No one sends you anything. And I think,
if they do, it's a waste of time and money.
Yeah, that's why I don't accept it. I think if it's like nail order.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, yes, please, yeah. send it over, because I know it will be used.
Yeah.
But if it's a brand that I am not going to be used, like, for example, the video, I can say what brand it was at.
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, so it was, like, Magpie, which is obviously quite a very well-known brand. Yeah. And they offered to send me some gel colours, a little PR parcel, and I just was like, sorry, but no, because, like mm-hmm. I said in the previous episode, I've found my brand of gel colours. I love nail order, so why would I waste my money, my time? I'm not going to make
their
a video
money
of
and their
that.
Time.
Exactly, yeah, that's just them fair. As well. Yeah. Carbon footprint too.
Yes.
Like, you know,
don't
shipping
waste.
That over, yeah, don't waste that on no. me. God. But yeah, I think I
yeah,
agree with you there.
I had, it was Essie.
Oh, yes.
They reached out and wanted to work with me, but I decided not to
yeah.
because
you gotta stay true to yourself.
I don't
you?
Work with nail varnish. Why would I post a fucking video that's
literally,
nail varnish?
Yeah, that's like,
like
for all the
all
big
respect
girls.
To Essie, but like
yeah we
do
we
you
don't
watch
want
my content
literally,
because
do you watch it? Like, I'm not gonna promote nail
no.
varnish. I don't remember the last time I used nail varnish.
No.
We're gel girlies, okay,
exactly. And then another one was Melody Susie.
Oh,
I think it was. They
is that
brought,
the dust extractor brand?
Yeah, and they yeah. do e-files as well. But I think it was Melody Susie. They brought out like a builder gel, or was it gel polish? I couldn't remember. But they reached out and asked if I wanted to try it, and I was like, it's just not for me. Like,
to be fair, builder gel ones I get reached out to like more often
yeah.
than gel colours, and it's just like, no, because then I'll have to get a client, I'll have
yes.
to soak off what they've already got on, I'll have to reapply this, and why?
It's more work than it's
why?
Worth. You're not
yeah.
paying me. You're just
yeah.
sending me free shit.
I'm not. It's going to take up room in my shelves
yeah.
and in my drawers. I'm running out of room anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want... No. Like, I think that's when you've got to... Yeah, so what I was saying about people wanting to work with brands,
yes.
it is not what
no.
it cracks up to be. Unless you find a brand you truly love,
yeah.
then working with them. Like, when Nail Order reached out to me to have a code... Best time of my life.
Yes.
And that was like literally such an achievement because I appreciate and love that brand.
It's like Nabovi. Like
Nabovi.
Oh my
yes.
god. Like, I would die for that brand.
Yeah. But you don't do it.
No.
You don't do it for money.
Lucy Passarelli reached out to me tomorrow and asked me to send.
Yeah, you'd
be like,
I'm like
no.
Yeah. You'd prefer
Why would
like
I
Nabovi,
do that?
Wouldn't you? Yeah. But I think that's where, as a nail tech, you need to decide if you're wanting to work with brands, maybe don't be a nail technician that takes clients. Maybe just do social media.
Yeah, that's
do nail
it.
Designs.
Be a content creator.
Yeah, content
yeah.
creator. Whereas if you're an actual nail tech who's sat doing clients, it's
that,
just
that
gonna get in the way.
Yeah,
yeah, it really does.
It doesn't serve you. It doesn't do it unless you're like on a journey of finding products, for instance.
Yeah,
like,
then slay.
Then fine. That's
yeah.
that's great. But yeah, I don't know. Do we have anything else to say? Because we are over an hour. Do we want to
self confidence? Like, it's kind of just. I feel
oh,
like.
Did you mention about how, like self confidence
oh,
with
my
clients
side.
And
yeah, I'll kind of wrap up my side of things. But so social media, I've never cared about.
Yeah,
I've always done
which
it.
Which I
that...
admire so much.
Oh, thanks. that sounds so insincere.
So sarcastic.
I'm, honestly,
oh,
oh
thanks.
No, I'm not good with emotions. Okay. So I know he's just chilling out. If you're on YouTube, you can probably maybe see him. Will
yeah,
he be in the shop?
Probably.
Maybe. But yeah, so like with social media, I've never struggled because I have always done it
yes.
since doing makeup. So I was very young when I started in the social media presence. And my whole thing like this is I just don't care
yeah.
what people comment. I don't know what it is, and I wish I could put it into the other side
yeah.
of it, but I couldn't care less. And
I feel like I've noticed as well that you don't reply to comments that much.
No, I try. I really, it's hard because like I'll get messages on TikTok and stuff, and with my comments, I honestly am a person that films the content because I enjoy it and I post
you
it.
You just post it.
And
yeah.
if someone's asked a question that I haven't already done in a video, I'll respond to it.
Mm.
And if I have the time, I will sit and go through comments.
Yeah.
But I just really try not to let it go into my personal
yeah.
life as much.
Which is really hard.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And it's like that. It's, if I answered every comment, replied to every message, I would never be off my phone.
No, I know.
I'd never be off my phone. Because I think what people don't realise is as well, you have the client side of it too, where you
yes.
get the messages and you're booking people in. Not only have you got
yeah.
the social media, you've got all of that.
I know.
Sorting out your books, like
yeah.
making sure you've booked off holidays, like
yeah.
sorting all that out. It's so difficult, but like I absolutely love it, so I'm not complaining. But yeah, I think, and in regards to like, you know, how you said what people are going to think about you
mm.
filming and like family and friends and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
The family and friends stuff, I honestly couldn't care less about.
No.
Like Oliver, I've said to him before, do you care?
Yeah.
Like I've never asked him his opinion. Like
yeah.
does it embarrass you? does it, like, I've tried to get him to do boyfriend voiceovers my day, but he just won't do it.
Oh, Harvey's going to do one.
Is he going to do it? Well, I'm going to tell him when he gets home. I'll say, come on, chop, chop.
Just get Harvey's Harvey to
doing
do it,
yeah. I'm like, my my friend's boyfriend does my, fiance does my voiceover. But yeah, like, I just, it's not something that bothers me. And if somebody, like, when I did makeup, for example, I did get a lot of harsh comments because I was in bald caps a lot of the time.
Yeah, so you've got comments about your, well, because makeup's about your appearance.
Yeah, and I'd start
so,
with no makeup on, and it was through lockdown, so I gained a lot of weight in lockdown. So I was like, I didn't have my eyebrows or eyelashes done, and I have blonde. My natural hair is blonde, so I have blonde. Not my natural hair, not on my head, no, guys. Yeah, oh my god, but my face, eyebrows, eyelashes, like, you know, a few whiskers over here and there. Very fair. So salons were closed, and I didn't tint my own at this point either. So I was literally looked like a goblin.
Yeah.
And I would get so many comments like, you look like a boy. Is this a woman or a man?
That's so rude.
I couldn't care less. Guess what?
Do you feel like maybe I know that you say that you've never cared, but do you feel like maybe having that already in helped in your nail
because it was just like, I'm starting up another TikTok and I've already done this, so I kind of know what I'm in for, and I'm so aware of like the TikTok app and stuff and like how it works. But I will say, if I got a comment of me doing a client's nails, for example, and someone commented being like, that set's really ugly, or you didn't do that right, that would upset me.
Would it?
Yeah, but I don't get scared.
I've heard
of that.
It right. I need to tell you this because this is actually hilarious, right? I did a video where I was I titled the video something like "How to Create a Perfect Ombre," right? And I was using the Ginger and Bells ombre sprays. Oh, have you seen me use those?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I was using that, and like, that's what the video was. Yeah. It was just me showing how to do that, right?
I'm so intrigued.
Somebody commented, "Is the perfect ombre in the room with us?" I was like, dagger to the heart.
What did
me.
You do? Did you reply?
I don't think I did. I think
you just got to ignore.
Oh my god!
If I ever get a bad comment, I just go on the profile and I block them. Yeah. If I ever get a bite, I just think, all right, bye.
Yeah.
And you know what I kind of think as well?
It's so funny though.
Yeah, like, but in that sort of situation though, like, if I was you, and I think if anyone's listening and you do struggle with the social media side and you get a bad comment, you are literally, what someone's commenting bad on a video where you're trying to upscale your business, you're trying to work hard, you're putting effort into your career. Because if they're going to comment something bad like that, let them get on with it.
Exactly.
You are better in your business.
And it helps your engagement.
It helps your engagement.
Even reply. Get a little bit sassy.
Yeah, get sassy so then they keep replying, because then the algorithm's like, well, someone loves this video. We're going to push it to these people. But honestly,
and hate comments usually use words that the algorithm likes. So they'll usually, like, so by that person commenting, like, oh, is the perfect ombre in the room with us? She's commented what my video is about, so
perfect
that's helping,
ombre.
Like, push
wow.
it out. So when you think, you've got to change your mindset. I feel like this whole episode has been like, just change your mindset.
Yeah, people, no, but people are, some people aren't nice.
No, I know.
You are always going to get those people that will comment something badly.
Yeah.
But you've just got to think, like, it's more of a reflection on them than it is on you. And I just think that...
Don't let that affect your confidence.
No, because if it, like... please, please don't. Like, they will just move about their day and they'll scroll down, find the next video and put a bad comment on their video. It is not just you. If they're commenting something bad on your video, it's not just your video.
No.
It is many others. And you've just got to let them crack on.
And also, most of the time, it's somebody that has nothing to do with nails.
Nothing to do with nails.
Nothing about nails.
Oh, yeah, or someone might comment being like, I saw someone comment on somebody else's, another nail tech's TikTok, being like, well, my nail tech doesn't do it like that. And it's like, well, go to your nail tech then. If she wants to do it like that, she can do it. That, like, just you don't have to. I think I posted a video, it was a while ago, and it was something to do with what I don't do as a nail tech. And I don't do foreign circ-offs. I don't do circ-offs from other nail techs, because I had an experience once where nearly three of my nail drill bits broke. And that's a lot of money for me to invest back in, so I just was like, you know what, no. And so many people got butt hurt from that, and they were like, if my nail, how do you expect me to come to you if you're not going to circ-off my nails? This person was from America. You're not going to come to me, so don't worry about it, hon. You just get on with your day.
And also, if you are a client of mine, I will soak off your nails.
Yeah.
I just won't soak somebody else's work 100%.
Off. Yes, 100%. Like, go to this place where you got them done.
Yeah.
Ask them to soak it off, like, and then come to me. But I just,
most
it's
of the time people don't
do.
Like doing that, do they? Because they get embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I do soak off foreign work.
Yeah.
But only only from the mindset of I would much rather soak off their nails and me do it,
yes,
than them do it at home.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I do it.
Or see, I've only had maybe two or three people that I've done that with, and they've, yeah, just gone back to their previous place, soaked it off,
yeah,
and then because they were like, I just lie, I just say, oh, I loved them, thanks,
I'm having,
but
a break,
I've got, yeah, I've got to go back to work or, yeah, something. Like, it is what it is, isn't it? But I do think that, yeah, so social media, that side, I don't really struggle with, because I just think it's better in my, it's better in my business. I'm trying my best, like, we're doing what we can. However, I'm the opposite to you, whereas with...
You struggle with clients.
Yeah, with, yeah, clients.
You've gotten better, though, do you not
I've
feel?
Gotten a lot better, a lot better, but that's because I think I'm trusting in myself more,
yeah,
and I know what I'm talking about, yeah, and I'm refining and perfecting my skills. And I think even, like, in, I don't think anybody's prep is perfect.
No.
But it's the fact that I'm constantly working at my prep, yeah, to try and perfect it that gives me the confidence.
Yeah.
So I think...
You're always trying to better yourself, and, yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
Exactly, and, like, honestly, if you're a nail technician and you really struggle with confidence with clients,
if you're a nail technician, like anyone that's not a nail
not an nail technician
is watching,
there's a,
if you're not a
plasterer
nail tech,
listening, he's like, oh lads, listen to this, I'm gonna, this is what we can listen to today's job. Shout out to you guys.
If you're not a nail tech, I need you to comment,
yeah,
on
what,
this
what,
video,
why are you,
what you
why
do,
are you watching,
why are you,
it's
listening?
Probably my dad actually said, yeah, he's like, oh, I love listening to podcasts. I'm like, dad,
it'll be Harvey, it's, and Oliver as well.
I'm like, dad, you don't have to listen to this podcast. So I, like, appreciate the support, but he keeps trying.
What's
to...
What's your dad's name?
Glenn. Shout
Hi,
out to
Glenn.
Glenn. With two N's.
Hi, if you're watching.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it's just, like, little things like that that I am getting better at, but that has changed my mindset,
yeah,
since you said, well, no, because if then... That's the only thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Allergies and...
Nails
not lasting,
yeah,
are the two things that terrify me, because I think I am quite lucky, whereas because I'm creative,
mm-hmm,
nail art doesn't really overwhelm me. I can kind of work,
yes,
on that, like I just do it as I go,
yeah.
So my main thing is, and if someone had confrontation with me in person, which has touch wood has never happened, my biggest fear is like someone being like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
Oh my god.
And then I'd be like, oh my god, because then not only have you got to deal with the confrontation, you've,
yeah,
sat with that client for a little bit of time.
I would
and
die.
There has been times where I've literally been like, oh my god, like, what if this doesn't go right? I need this person to just get out of my chair because,
mm-hmm,
I'm so nervous, like when I first started. But now it's like, because I trust in myself and I have that,
yeah,
knowledge of how to do each, like, kind of nail art, it makes me feel more confident.
Yeah, definitely. I've had a situation, I think I told you about this, the lady that emailed Hona.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I need to tell that story.
Yeah.
I will tell that story in another episode. But that was a situation where she didn't make me feel uncomfortable in person, but she did make me feel really uncomfortable over message.
Yeah.
And I was going to still have her as a client, and I cut it off. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
I'm not having you come into my house and make me feel uncomfortable.
But since you said that to me before that, I thought... I have to accept everybody. I was,
no,
like, I have to accept everybody and I have to have them back even if they make me feel uncomfortable because,
nope,
they want to come back. But since you said that to me, I'm like, actually, you know what?
Mm.
Like, I can say to someone, I'm really sorry you made me feel uncomfortable,
yeah,
in my own home. I mean, that's never happened, touch wood,
no,
but if it ever did, that kind of made me realise,
yeah,
oh my God, I am so in control of all of this. And, okay, if you say that to the person, they take it badly and they start, like, for example, someone might be worried that they might slander them all over Facebook or whatever. If that does happen, you've,
yeah,
got your side of the story anyway.
Exactly.
And proof from,
yeah,
messages and things.
Yeah. I think, like, I think I will tell that story in detail.
That would be a really, yeah,
another episode, because I think I've still got the messages and I probably would read them out. I don't have any contact with this client anymore, and it doesn't matter anyway because,
yeah,
I wouldn't say her name. But I think it's an important story to tell. Because
we could maybe do an episode about, like, confrontations and how,
yeah,
to kind of deal with them. And, like, I think that would be good because,
yeah,
I reckon a lot of people would be interested in that.
How to break up with clients.
How to break up with clients.
Oh.
Thankfully, I've never had to do that.
No.
Never. But it's, you know. But I do think another thing as well.
I've done it twice.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh
twice.
Wait, I think you told. Oh, you,
yeah,
could tell them sorry,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
can,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, hello, sir.
Hello.
Milo's in shot now.
Hi, Munchkin.
I think with
hello.
Oh, you're in kisses. What were
Thank
I going to say? I was just going to say something about
Thanks.
It. I can't remember. It's gone. Milo distracted me.
You're a distraction, a cute one.
You are. Oh, it was about the self confidence and, like, with certain clients that, you know, you might. not feel like you can put boundaries in there, I think that has such a big impact on your self-confidence, like even with how to deal with these things that might not have happened yet.
100%, yeah, definitely. Hiya. Are you giving me loves?
But yeah, in regards to like the confidence and motivation, I think, to be honest, we could probably do a part two on this as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
because
we actually give some proper tips, because I feel like this was just us rambling.
But I feel like people need to hear it from our points of view as nail techs. What's difficult in what way?
Yes,
and how different perspectives perceive it. Someone,
because I feel like we're so different. Me and
so
you.
Different,
and I think that's a really good thing for this podcast.
I do. It's like different perspectives,
yeah,
and different ways that you can think about it in your mind.
Definitely.
But yeah,
perfect. Are we done?
I think I'm all rambled out for the confidence and motivation.
I think I'm natted out.
I know. We're all nail tech natted out.
Honestly,
that's so funny.
Oh right. So that was our tips.
Tips and tricks and everything.
Our experiences as well.
Yeah.
I hope that you guys found comfort in it and maybe related in some ways.
And if you're listening to this before maybe a day that you're feeling a little bit nervous and you need that little bit of confidence or extra motivation, just know that everyone has been in your position. Yes. You are honestly not alone. Maybe reach out to someone who's in, you know, your area and is a nail tech, or even just someone you watch over social media. Like, reach out to our podcast messages, me and Liv both.
We'll answer you.
Yeah,
sure.
We both look at that. We might send you a cute little voice note, you know, how to deal with it. But
they might have had enough of listening to our voices.
They might be like, we don't need to hear any more of you, bloody hell.
And remember that every day is a new day.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle of a shit day, just remember that you can wake up tomorrow, you can change your perspective, and you can have a better day.
Exactly. Everything you lose is a step you take, from the wise words of Taylor Swift. I just think it's so...
You better fuck off with that.
No, I love it. I'm going to say it every episode because it's so true. If you had a client and you did rubbish yesterday, okay, that's a loss, but it's going to give you more motivation to do better today. Boom.
It's another thing we are very different on.
I love Taylor and she doesn't.
I hate Taylor.
Taylor, if you want to sponsor this podcast, let me know.
No, I would not allow
let
it.
Let me know, Taylor.
I'm out.
Milo, you have permission to bite.
Are you a Swiftie? I don't think
he
Milo
is. He
Swiftie.
Is. He told
no,
me
not.
Yesterday.
He's
he told
not.
Me. He tells me.
No, he's not.
But I hope you enjoyed this episode,
we hope
guys.
You enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening.
And we will see you in the next one next Friday.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.